Let me give you a wonderful excellence of reciting Durood o Salam upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. One of the ahadith says that recitation of the Salat upon me is Noor on the bridge of Sirat. Anyone who recites 80 times Durood upon me every Friday, 80 years of his sins will be forgiven. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The viewers of Madhi channel, as you know that in this silsila, we discuss some particular verses of the Holy Quran, and then Mufti Sahib Damat Barakatuhul Aliyah grants us the Madhi pearls and tafsiri nikat regarding those verses. In answer to the last question which we asked Mufti Sahib in the last silsila, we were discussing about masajid. And then during that course, we came to know about the importance of masjid as well. Here, before I ask the first question of today from Mufti Sahib, I would like to give you a little bit excellence and fazilat of masjid as well. And especially of those people who are all the time involved with masjid in terms of building them and then populating it as well. It is in one hadith that our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam said, only those people are the true people of Allah who populate the masjid. Meaning those people who are all the time busy in the population of masjid. Meaning in this way, that they are persuading others towards coming towards the masjid. They are trying to fill the masjid. And because of their invitation towards righteousness, people come towards masjid and they offer the salat and they become punctual in their salat. Then there is another hadith which says that he who loves masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him as well. Meaning, those who are busy in the khidmat and service of masjid in this way, that they are showing their love for masjid, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them their beloved. So dear viewers of Madhi channel, if you want to earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you want to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the ways, and that is really the best way, is to love masjid. Dawat-e-Islami, as you know, playing a very wonderful role in the population of masjid as well. Later on in the silsila, we will discuss about another thing regarding which Dawat-e-Islami is, you know, working in a very wonderful way, that is the physical construction of the masjid. But before it, I would like to highlight that Dawat-e-Islami is playing a wonderful role in the population of the masjid, in filling the masajid. You know, Dawat-e-Islami has a particular movement inside the movement, and that is called Masjid Bharo Tehreek. In this tehreek, it is responsibility of each and every follower of Amir Ahl-e-Sunnat and member of Dawat-e-Islami to bring the people towards masjid. It is for salah, it is for ijtima, it is for madhi mashuraz. So in this way, Dawat-e-Islami is playing a very wonderful role. Then, if you see the whole structure of Dawat-e-Islami, you will find that most of the activities of Dawat-e-Islami are performed inside the masjid. Madani kafilas, they travel in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and mostly they stay at masajid. Then ijtima'at, and you know, every Thursday we have our haftawar ijtima, weekly ijtima, which is right after Maghrib Salah, and in some instances after Isha Salah as well. So people gather in the masjid, and then that ijtima starts with the recitation of Quran, then Naat Sharif, then Muballighin, they make bayanats, and then Zikrullah Azza wa Jal, and at the end, the dua. So what is this? This is also a way to fill the masajid. this is also a way to bring the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we will talk about some other aspects of masajid as well. But let's move to the first question. If you remember in last silsila, we were discussing the verse, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِي أَسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَنْ يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And then we discussed that those people who are striving in order to take the people away from masajid, those people who are preventing the people from zikrullah in this way, that they are preventing them from masajid, so there was a severe punishment for them. So we discussed this issue. But let's ask Mufti Sahab this time, that what is the excellence of making the masajid, populating the masajid, and especially those people who are busy in the construction of masjid and they make the masjid, so what is the fazilat for them as well?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you mentioned, many excellences of masajid. So masjid is called the house of Allah, that is Baitullah. So who constructs the house of Allah, masjid, so he gains a lot of reward. And in Quran and in Hadith, there are many rewards and there are many glad tidings for those people who construct masajid and who populate masajid. As Allah Azza wa Jalla had described in the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَى الزَّكَاةَ وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَعَسَى أُولَٰئِكَ أَنْ يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. So in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal is describing about those people who populate masajid. Who are those people? Allah Azza wa Jal is describing, مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, who believes in Allah and in the day of judgment, and who offers prayer, and who pays zakah, and he doesn't fear except Allah. These are the qualities of those people who construct masajid, who populate masajid. And this ayah is with the word innama. Innama is for specifying those people, that only these kind of people are allowed and they can construct masajid and they can populate masajid. That's why in one hadith, in the explanation of this ayah, there is one hadith which is quoted. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person whom you see visiting masajid a lot, means he visits in morning, in evening for 5 times prayers, and he loves to stay in masjid, so they testify his belief that he is a believer. Testify that he is a believer. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the Holy Quran, the person who is populating masjid, who is building masjid, he is the one who believes in Allah and in the day of judgment. So that's why that is first excellence for those people who construct and populate masajid. Then the second thing, as we are describing and we are discussing the matters and the parables of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, because the context of this ayah is that. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Azza wa Jal has described, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ, means remember that time when Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam were raising the foundations of Baitullah, of Khana Kaaba. So it means construction of masjid is the sunnah of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the reward of construction of masjid and population of masjid in another way, when a person constructs a masjid, so whosoever will offer prayer in that masjid, the reward of that person will go to the book of the deeds of the constructor of masjid as well. For example, as Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has constructed Khana-e Kaaba and he laid the foundation of Masjid-e-Haram, so now whosoever will offer prayer in Masjid-e-Haram, his reward will go to that person as well, but his reward will go to Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam as well. So that is another reward of construction of masajid. Then constructing masajid is the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Because when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkah to Medina and he stayed at the house of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So during that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba ikram to construct a masjid. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam selected a particular place, but that was in the ownership of some orphans. So those orphans, they were Muslims, so they requested for that place to be accepted, means without any price. So they wanted to give as a gift. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam denied, rejected, because it is not allowed for orphans to give their wealth in charity. So then Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu paid the price, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took that place, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Sahaba ikram started construction of Masjid-e-Nabawi Sharif. And in the construction of Masjid-e-Nabawi Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participated himself, means in carrying stones and in carrying the other stuff of Masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was participating, and when other Sahaba ikram who were constructing Masjid, who were building Masjid, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was supplicating for them, Allahumma la khayra illa khayrul akhira faghfiril ansara wal muhajira. O Allah, there is no virtue except the virtue of akhira, and O Allah, forgive muhajirin and ansar. Why? Because particularly that time, they were busy in construction of Masjid-e-Nabawi Sharif. Means when they constructed Masjid-e-Nabawi Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed them with his supplications. And in that construction, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participated himself. Then in another masjid, which has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَّرُوا. So this ayah is about Masjid-e-Quba Sharif. Masjid-e-Quba Sharif is a little bit far from Masjid-e-Nabawi Sharif. So that was another masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there and started the construction of Masjid-e-Quba Sharif and participated himself. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would carry the stones for that masjid. And when Sahaba ikram looked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they requested, Ya Rasulullah, may our parents be sacrificed for you. You are carrying the stones for masjid, so we are here and we will do that job. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give those stones to them. But after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would carry another stones. And that time, Hazrat Abdullah bin Zawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu was reciting some couplets to motivate people and to encourage people for the construction of masjid. Then, it is a Sharia commandment to construct masjid in every locality. Then, for those people who do this job, who construct masjid, and they do their effort, they make their efforts for the construction of masjid, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever will construct masjid, though that is very small masjid, Allah Azza wa Jal will grant him a house in paradise.
SubhanAllah. The viewers of Madani channel, a wonderful excellence, anyone who makes a masjid for sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter it is big or small, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a house for him in paradise. It means that making a masjid, constructing a masjid, it is a wonderful thing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it. He who builds masjid, inshallah azza wa jal, he will be granted a house in the paradise. Dawat-e-Islami is working in this regard as well. One of the many departments of Dawat-e-Islami, one is Khuddamul Masajid. In this department, people are working day in and day out just to build the masajid. And then, believe me, this department is not only working in Pakistan, but it is also working out of Pakistan as well. According to the latest information, on daily basis, Khuddamul Masajid is constructing two masajid. It means that if there are 365 days in a year, so plus minus 600 to 700 masajids are being built in the whole year. And this is the latest karkardagi, this is the latest report in 2015 and 2016. The viewers of Madri channel, this department works in different way. This department works in various aspects. For example, from choosing the land to purchasing it and then building the masjid on it with the contribution of Muslims. And as I have told you, that this department is working throughout the world where Dawat-e-Islami is working. For example, in South Africa, there are many masajids which were built solely by this department of Dawat-e-Islami, meaning Khuddamul Masajid. In UK, in Bangladesh, in many other European countries. And you know what is the importance of masjid? Masjid plays a very vital role in the formation of Muslim society. If you are making a masjid, you are making a whole Muslim society. I would like to invite you for contribution towards this noble cause as well. Wherever you are in the world, please try to contact Khuddamul Masajid, and then if it is possible, either give a piece of land for masjid or contribute in terms of money and help them to build a masjid in your locality. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq to participate in this noble cause of building the masajid. Moving to the next question, Mustafa, many times it happens that some people, they contribute towards masjid, they give chanda or donation, but they are not Muslim. So my question is that if a non-Muslim is contributing something in masjid, so will he be given any reward or there is no reward for him?
For getting reward, there is condition in Islam, and that condition is Islam. If someone is not Muslim and he is doing some good actions, so he will get some worldly rewards because he has done some good things. So Allah Azza wa Jal will grant him reward, but that would be the reward of this world. As far as the reward of hereafter is concerned, so that will never be granted to any non-believers. As Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in many places in the Holy Quran, for all the good deeds, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned many times, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whosoever desires a search for religion other than Islam, so that religion would never be accepted in the court of Allah, and he would be among the losers on the day of judgment. Then there is another ayah Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Now Allah Azza wa Jal describing, man amila salihan, whosoever will do good deed, min zakarin or unsa, whether he is male or female, wa huwa mu'minun, but the condition is this, that he is believers. Man amila salihan min zakarin or unsa, any male or female does good deeds, when he is Muslim, then he will get that reward which Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned later. فَلَنُحِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ. We will grant him pure life. So in this ayah, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ is one condition. So, and particularly about the construction of masajid, because that was the tradition in Mushrikeen of Makkah as well, because they were the servant of Masjid-e-Haram Sharif, and they were given that responsibility to serve Masjid-e-Haram and Khana-e-Kaaba. So they were proud of that, and they used to show their proud that we are the servant of Khana-e-Kaaba and we are the servant of Masjid-e-Haram Sharif. So that's why we are the beloved people to Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah Azza wa Jal negated their claim, and especially Allah Azza wa Jal described, مَا كَانَ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ أَن يَعْمُرُوا مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ شَاهِدِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ بِالْكُفْرِ. It is not right of the mushrikeen to construct the masajid of Allah while they are testifying their own disbelief. When they are non-believers, when they are polytheists, so then if they are providing their services to Masjid-e-Haram Sharif, it is not their right. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla said, حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. Their deeds have been ruined. And وَفِي النَّارِهُمْ خَالِدُونَ. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla said to them, because particularly these people, the mushrikeen of Makkah, they were against the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they used to say, if you are claiming that you believe in Allah, you believe in the day of judgment, and so we are the servant of Khana-e-Kaaba, we are the servant of Masjid-e-Haram Sharif, so that's why we have another excellence. If what you have is an excellence, so then what we are doing is also excellent. So then Allah Azza wa Jal negated that claim as well. Then Allah Azza wa Jal said, أَجْعَلْتُمْ سِقَايَةَ الْحَاجِّ وَعِمَارَةَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ كَمَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَجَاهَدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَا يَسْتَوُونَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, do you make providing water to Hujjaj and the construction of Masjid-e-Haram is like the one who believes in Allah and in the day of judgment and who strives in the path of Allah? They are not alike. Mean those people who are providing their services to Hujjaj and to both Amirin, and they are populating Masjid-e-Haram Sharif, but if they are not believers, then their actions are not like the actions of those people who are believers and who have believed in Allah and in the Day of Judgment. They are not alike. So in this ayah, basically Allah Azza wa Jal is describing the deeds of those people who are not believers. But despite that, they are providing their services to Masjid-e-Haram Sharif, their services are not accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's why it is necessary to have belief in Allah and in all the essentials of Islam. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will grant reward to those constructors of masajid.
SubhanAllah. Dear viewers of Madhi channel, Iman is very important. Without Iman, there is no reward for anyone. So anyone who is doing anything, if he has Iman and belief, inshallah al-Aziz, only then he will be given reward of his deeds. Moving to the next question, and that is regarding the verse number 115, again from the same surah, Surah Baqarah. As you know that we are commanded to face Qibla in the Salah, but there is a verse in the Holy Quran which says something which is apparently opposite to it. Let me read that verse and translate for it, and then we will ask, what is the right context of this verse of Holy Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَصَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Translation, and the east and the west all belong to Allah. So whichever direction you face, there is Allah's entity. Allah's mercy is directed towards you. Indeed, Allah is the all-capable, the all-knowing. So, Mustafa, in which context this ayat should be understood?
Basically, taking this meaning, that in whichever direction we turn our faces, our prayer is allowed, means we are allowed to offer prayer. So, taking that meaning is totally wrong. And apparent meaning of this ayah is this. But because understanding Quran is very sensitive matter, if without the supervision of scholars and if without getting knowledge from scholars, if someone reads Quran and tries to understand, so he will make mistakes in many places. So really this is the outcome of understanding of Quran without the supervision of scholars. If someone reads himself, so then he will make these kinds of mistakes. So now what is the meaning? And then the other thing which Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned, particularly about scholars, as Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. If you don't know, so then ask the people of knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't command us in this place, فَقْرَأُوا الْقُرْآنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Read Quran if you don't know. If you don't have knowledge, then read Quran. But Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded, ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. Means, just by reading Quran, it is very difficult to get proper knowledge, means the appropriate knowledge. Sometimes in Quran, one thing is mentioned in one place, but the conditions of that ayah in another place in the Holy Quran. So, as long as until a person collects all those ayah, he is not able to understand the meanings of Quran in proper context. So, similarly, this ayah is the example of same kind. Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in this place, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَوَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. This ayah apparently telling us to turn our faces wherever we want. But in another place, Allah Azza wa Jalla has described, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Turn your faces toward Masjid-e Haram. Turn your faces towards that, means towards Masjid-e Haram Sharif. So, now what is the reconciliation between these ayat? So basically, there are many opinions of scholars regarding this ayah. The one opinion, this ayah is not about prayer. Prayer means offering prayer, establishing prayer, offering salah. This ayah is not about offering salah. This ayah is about supplicating, means making dua in the court of Allah. As we raise our hand and we supplicate in the court of Allah, so that time it is not necessary to turn our faces towards a particular direction, particularly towards Kaaba. It is not necessary. It is desirable, it is mustahab to turn our faces towards a direction of Qibla. but it is only desirable. That is not farz or wajib. So this ayah is about supplication. This ayah is about dua. Means in dua, when we are supplicating, that time we can turn our faces towards every direction. Because wherever we turn our faces, Allah's mercy is there. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is all knowing and He has all powers. So that's why in prayer we are allowed to turn our faces towards every and each direction. The second meaning of this ayah is this ayah was about the changing Qibla from Baitul Muqaddas towards Khana-e Kaaba. Means when Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Muslim to turn their faces towards Baitul Muqaddas in Madinatul Murawwara after the migration, then after 18th month or 19th month, then Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Muslim to turn their faces towards Khana-e Kaaba. That time, Jews and the people of Book who were in Madinatul Murawwara, they objected. They objected and they raised this question, what are you doing and what kind of prayer you are offering? Because sometimes you turn your faces towards this Qibla, sometimes you turn your faces towards that Qibla. So what is your religion? And what is that religion who changes Qibla after every 2 years? So then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this ayah and told them that facing towards Baitul Muqaddas and facing towards Khana-e Kaaba, that is not in the hand of people. East and West, turning faces towards East or West, that is the authority of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Lillahi Mashriq wal Maghrib, East and West belongs to Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jal is the owner and has authority of everything. So it is His power to give command Muslim to turn their faces. So Allah Azza wa Jal commanded that. So that's why mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't depend upon East or West. Mercy of Allah is in following the commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this ayah was about those Jews who raised question about the changing of Qibla. That is the second interpretation of this ayah. The third is this ayah was about those people, those travelers who are out of city, and they are offering nafal prayer. So because offering nafal prayer while a person is riding on an animal, or in nowadays he is driving a car, so that time if someone offers prayer, nafal prayer in any direction, so his prayer is allowed. So that ayah is about travelers who are out of city and they are offering nafal prayer. So their prayer is allowed and for them there is no specific direction to turn their faces. So it is allowed for them to offer prayer
in whichever direction.
Whichever direction they are heading. So that is the third interpretation. The fourth interpretation is this ayah is about those people who are in a place where they don't know where is the Qibla direction. And it happened with Sahaba-e-Kiram. One Sahaba-e-Kiram was traveling and at night or in a particular place, they didn't know where is the Qibla direction. So some of them thought the Qibla direction is in this direction. Some thought the Qibla is in that direction. So everyone offered prayer in different direction. The next day when they came into the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we offered prayer, this problem occurred to us and we offered prayer in that way. So what is the commandment of, what is your commandment? So then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this ayah. So this ayah is about those people who don't know where is the Qibla direction. So if that time, if they follow their thought, so wherever they thought lead them, they are commanded to offer prayer into that direction. So this ayah is about those people who don't know where is the Qibla direction.
Subhanallah. The viewers of Madni channel, I hope many misunderstandings have been removed. And then a very wonderful point which Mufti Sahib raised, that when we are trying to understand religion and particularly Quran and Hadith without the supervision of any authentic scholar, it happens that instead of learning something, we lose what we already have in our mind. It means that sometimes some people, they mislead just because they are not studying Quran under the supervision of an authentic alim. So I hope inshallah azawajal, now whenever you are reading something and you are unable to understand that thing in proper context, so you must ask a alim sahab, a maulana sahab. Then what is the excellence of ulama? Subhanallah, in this world ulamas are really king, and in hereafter they are also going to be king. And why is it? Because they are inheritors of the anbiya. In one of the ahadith, let me give you a brief summary of that hadith, that ulama are inheritors of anbiya, and anbiya, they don't leave any dirham and dinar, meaning any property and any wealth except ilm. Those who receive this inheritance, knowledge or ilm, so indeed they have received a big lot. The viewers of Madhi channel, in the hereafter, ulamas will be given special status. It is mentioned in one hadith that on the day of judgment, mujahideen and abideen, they will be given permission to enter into paradise, but ulama will not be given permission initially. So what is the reason that they are permitted but we are not given permission? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply that I don't want you alone to enter into paradise, but I want you to make intercession, to intercede for other sinner Muslims, and after your intercession, those other Muslims will also be given permission, will also be granted entry into paradise. So subhanallah, if any alim is living in your neighborhood, you must become dust of his feet. Why? Because on the day of judgment, it is possible that you will be in need of his intercession, and just because of his intercession, you will be granted place into paradise. Moving to the next question, the viewers of Madri channel, there is a verse in Surah Baqarah, verse number 121, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Translation: those to whom we have given the book, read it in the manner it should be read. It is they who believe in it, and those who deny it, it is they who are the losers. Dear viewers of Madni channel, there are two questions. Number one, what is the particular book which is mentioned in this ayah? And then, what is the rite of tilawat, rite of recitation? Let's go to Mufti Sahib and ask him what is the answer to these two questions.
This ayah is about Jews, and Allah Azza wa Jal is describing about Jews. Alladina ataynahumul kitaba, those people to whom we have given book. So what is that book? So to Jews, Allah Azza wa Jal grant the book of Torah. So this book is Torah. Now Allah Azza wa Jal is describing Alladina ataynahumul kitaba yatlunahu haqqa tilawati. They recite it as it should be recited. So they recite Torah as Torah should be recited. So what is the meaning of haqqa tilawati? So this ayah is about those people who used to recite Torah before the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara and invited them towards Islam, they came in the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they accepted Islam. So these are the people who fulfilled the rites of Torah, because that is the right of the book of Allah to act upon the commandments of that book. And because they were commanded in Torah to believe in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever he appears. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam invited them towards him, towards the book of Allah, means Quran, to and towards Islam, they accepted the invitation of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and basically in that way they acted upon their Torah as well. So about them Allah Azza wa Jal is describing, they are the people who are fulfilling the rites of Torah, and they are reciting Torah as it should be recited. And then other people, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. So these other people are those who denied, who rejected the invitation of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now this ayah was about Torah. But as Allah Azza wa Jalla had mentioned, there was the rite of the recitation of the book of Allah. So as Quran is also the word of Allah, and that is also the book of Allah, so there are many zayats of Quran, and there are many manners of the recitation of the Quran as well. What are the rites of Quran? The rites of Quran are many. One of them is to believe in the book of Allah. That is a rite of Quran, because it is the book of Allah. Then to love the book of Allah. Then to express the best respect to the book of Allah. Whatever respect we can show and we can express for the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, we should show that respect. Then to consider that while reciting, that I am reciting the book of Allah, and through that I am speaking to Allah Azza wa Jal. So that is the rite of the recitation of the Holy Quran. There are the manners of the Holy Quran. So being in the state of purity means in the state of wuzu and in the state of ghusl while reciting the Holy Quran. Then to recite Quran whenever we can recite means on daily basis or in the alternate days. So whenever we can recite the Holy Quran, so we should recite. And when we have been commanded to recite the Holy Quran, so we have to recite Quran correctly. Means if someone doesn't know how to recite Quran properly with tajweed and tartil, so then it is compulsory upon him to learn how to recite Quran properly and how to recite Quran. Then it is the right of Quran to understand the meanings of Quran, because Quran was revealed for our understanding and for our admonish. We take admonish from the Quran, we take advice from the Holy Quran. So we can't get any advice, we can't get any admonish if we are unable to understand the Holy Quran. So for that purpose, we are commanded to understand the Holy Quran. So then after understanding the Holy Quran, to carry out the commandments of Quran as well. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded us to do, we have to do. And whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has forbidden us to commit, so we have to abstain from those. So, and then conveying the message of Quran to other people, that is another commandment of Allah. And if we are able to recite Quran properly, and we know other people, they are unable to recite Quran properly, so it might be our responsibility in some cases, it might be our responsibility to teach them how to recite the Holy Quran. So these are the rites and manners of the Holy Quran. Particularly, we should think about our condition, we think about our character and conduct in this regard, whether we are used to recite the Holy Quran. There are many people among us who might not open Quran in their whole life. They are unable to recite the Holy Quran. They are used to read newspaper daily, but they are unable to recite the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So if that is the condition, so that is worse condition. So, but to convey the message of Allah to those people, it is the responsibility of those people who are practicing. So if we are practicing, then it would be our responsibility to convey that message to other people.
The viewers of Madni Channel, we learned that it is very important to fulfill the rites of Quran. And then what are the rites of Quran? Mufti Sahib, mashallah, have mentioned very briefly. There is another misconception. Some people, they try to, you know, create some sort of confusion in the minds of other people. They are found saying that it is necessary to understand the Quran. So in this way, they are trying to undermine the recitation of Quran without understanding. So let's ask Mufti Sahab that this kind of attitude is acceptable in Islam, that where people, they are trying to demotivate those people who are only able to understand. So in this way, they are trying to demotivate those people who can only recite, but they can't understand the Quran. So what's up this kind of attitude? To what extent this is right in your opinion?
As I mentioned, there are many rites of Quran, and among them there are two rites. One is the recitation of the Holy Quran, and the other is the understanding of the Holy Quran, understanding the meaning of the Quran. So now the first thing, recitation of the Holy Quran, that is for all. Means every person should recite Holy Quran. As a common person, he is obliged to recite the Holy Quran in his prayer. At least it is compulsory for him to recite the Holy Quran, to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, and after that another surah in his prayer. So that is compulsory, that is first, and that is wajib. Reciting Surah Al-Fatiha is wajib, and recitation itself is first. So for that purpose, it is first to learn how to recite the Holy Quran. Then the second thing, understanding of the Holy Quran, that is not first upon every Muslim. That is farz-e kifaya, means that is collective responsibility of this nation, means of people. If some of them, if means some Muslims, some scholars, they are able to understand Quran and they can understand and they can tell the commandment of Quran to other people, so that is sufficient for other people as well. Means if other people leave that understanding, so they won't become sinners. But as far as the reward of the understanding is concerned, so every person is encouraged and motivated for getting the understanding of Quran. As Allah Azza wa Jalla has said about Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned, Hudan lil muttaqin. Quran is guidance for pious people. Among in the meaning of pious people means every Muslim is at least at the lowest rank, at the lowest stage of piety. So every Muslim is emphasized to have the understanding of Quran. Then in another ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. We have simplified Quran for taking admonish. So is there anyone who get admonish? So in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal is encouraging people to get the understanding of Quran, because through that they will take some admonish. Just through words they can't get that. Through understanding they will get that. So now in these two ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal has encouraged all the people. But Allah Azza wa Jal didn't make that first upon everyone. So that's why if some Muslims are able to understand Quran and they have understood Quran, so then they have fulfilled that responsibility. They have fulfilled that duty. But because there are many excellences of understanding of the Holy Quran, there are the sayings of Sahaba Ikram and other scholars, reading one ayah of the Holy Quran with understanding is better than the recitation of the whole Surah Al-Baqarah. Means if someone recites Alif Lam Mim Zalikal Kitabu La Riba Fi, only these ayah, whoever recites with understanding, he is better than that person who recites whole Surah Al-Baqarah. So in that way, when understanding the Holy Quran has a lot of excellences, so then we should move towards that and we should motivate ourselves towards that. But as far as the responsibility as being obligatory upon Muslim, so it is not obligatory. It is farz-e kifaya. It is called farz-e kifaya. Now, those people, for encouraging people, we can say everyone should understand Quran. For motivation and for encouraging people, we can say that everyone should get understanding of the Holy Quran. But we are not allowed to say that reading the Holy Quran without understanding is ma'adallah rewardless. We can't say that, because recitation of the Holy Quran is a different matter. If someone recites the Holy Quran without understanding, even then he will get reward from the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. As the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, recitation of one letter of the Holy Quran has 10 rewards. And I don't say that Alif Lam Meem is one letter. Alif is one letter, Lam is the other letter, and the Meem is the third letter. Means whosoever recites Alif Lam Meem, so he will get 30 virtues. So now I would say, who understands the meaning of Alif Lam Meem? Alif Lam Meem are hurufe muqatta'at, and the meanings of these Allah knows, and the Rasul of Allah knows. Otherwise, the other people, the common scholar, they don't know the meaning of Alif Lam Meem. But that person who is reciting these three letters, he is getting 30 virtues. It means without understanding, we will be given reward over recitation of the Holy Quran. Then there is very beautiful parable about Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was privileged with the vision of Allah Azza wa Jal in his dream. And he asked Allah Azza wa Jal, O Allah, how can I get your closeness? And what is the best way of getting your closeness? Allah Azza wa Jal told Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal that the recitation of my book, means recitation of Quran, is the best way to get the closeness of Allah Azza wa Jal. So then Imam Ahmad radiallahu ta'ala asked, O Allah, with understanding or without understanding. Allah Azza wa Jal answered in both ways. Means in which way someone recites the Holy Quran, whether he is understanding or not, he is able to understand or not, he will get that reward and he will get closeness in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's why recitation of Quran is a different case and understanding of Quran is a different case. Recitation of Quran, in some ways it is farz, in some conditions it is wajib, and in most of the condition it is desirable and it is mustahab and it is rewardable action. And understanding of the Quran has a lot of excellence, but it is not farz over every person, it is farz-e kifaya.
Subhanallah. The viewers of Madni channel, very balanced opinion from Mufti Sahib, that it is also necessary that we should understand Quran, but we shouldn't undermine the importance of the recitation of Quran without understanding. Here I would like to give you a wonderful story before I finish this silsila. Hazrat Sabit Bunani rahmatullahi ta'ala, one of our most famous and pious predecessors, it is written in his biography that it was his habit to recite one complete Quran every day. One complete Quran every day. So it means that every day he was able to recite one Holy Quran. He also said that there is no pillar in the Jama Masjid where I did not recite a complete Quran. Subhanallah. And because of the recitation of Quran throughout his life, he was given a special status after his life. It is written again in his biography that when he passed away and people were burying him, they had buried him and all of a sudden a brick slipped inside. So someone peeped inside and he saw, surprisingly, that Hazrat is standing and reciting Quran in the Salah. Subhanallah. The viewers of Madhi channel, it means that if we have love of the recitation of Quran, so it is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us special rank and status in the grave because of our recitation of Quran. With these words, I seek your permission until next silsila. Inshallah, we'll see you in the next silsila. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to recite Holy Quran with understanding as well. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Quran, Quran, in the light of Quran, in the light.